I want to talk a little bit today about what I affectionately call the Peg Whitney problem. Just to be clear, the Peg Whitney problem, PWP for short, does not describe a problem with Peg. It is a problem with reading scripture that Peg memorably distilled at one of our Wednesday evening studies last year. We were talking about what makes good sermons good and bad sermons bad, and Peg said something to the effect of, "You know, I've heard these Bible stories so many times that I know Jesus wants me to be good, so tell me something I don't know." And maybe you've had that feeling too, like the words that felt so revolutionary the first time you heard them feel worn out and predictable. You see the scripture reading for the day and you think, oh, it's the fishers of men thing again. Before the gospel acclamation is over, we're already filling in the blanks in our heads. Now, if you've ever had that experience, I have it quite a lot, that I would encourage you to try this sometime. Read the day's appointed scripture slowly and carefully, and then go do something else for 5 or 10 minutes. Get the mail, make a cup of tea, play fetch with the dog, and then get a piece of paper and write down as much of the story as you can remember, and then put the two side by side and see what you left out. If you did that with today's gospel reading, you would probably come up with something like this. Jesus was teaching in a boat by the sea. He told the fishermen to drop their nets in, and they said it was pointless because they hadn't caught anything all night. But then Jesus performed a miracle, and they hauled up a bunch of fish, and they were impressed. And then Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of people." Does that sound about right? What's missing from that story? Simon Peter is missing from that story. Which is funny that we forget about Simon because he's a fascinating character in the story. Because when they haul in the nets full of fish, Simon Peter has an odd reaction. He doesn't celebrate, he doesn't rejoice. No, Luke says that Simon fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Why does Simon Peter say that? You notice earlier in the story when Simon told Jesus that they hadn't caught anything, Simon calls Jesus master. Now, master is Luke's equivalent of rabbi or teacher. It's respectful, it's deferential, but it's not divine. And yet when Simon tries to send Jesus away after the nets are full of fish, he calls Jesus Lord. Lord is the title that Luke uses after Jesus has been raised in the book of Acts. So it's as if Simon understands the gravity of what's happening here. Jesus isn't just giving them more fish, Jesus is giving them new life. But that really doesn't answer our question. If anything, it just makes the question even harder. Simon Peter doesn't misunderstand what's happening here. He understands that Jesus is performing a miracle that points to something very profound. Now, usually when that happens in the Gospels, people respond by praising Jesus and asking for even more miracles. So why does Simon Peter tell Jesus to leave? The answer to that question is not in the text. There's no Greek translation to make sense of it, no historical anecdote to make it any more logical. If we want to understand why Simon sends Jesus away, we have to think about our own lives. Because we know how Simon Peter feels. We know how difficult it can be to accept love, which is odd because we spend so much of our lives seeking love from family members and friends and neighbors, wanting to be accepted and appreciated and seen for who we are. And yet when someone gives us love that we've been seeking, we feel like we don't deserve it. We try to earn people's love, and then when someone gives us love as a gift, we try to push them aside. Why do we do that? It's often the people who love us despite our shortcomings who make us most aware of our shortcomings. It's the people who love us who make us wonder if we're worthy of love in the first place. And it's the people who give us grace who make us feel undeserving. You notice it isn't until Simon Peter is in the relationship with Jesus that he senses his inadequacy. When Jesus teaches and heals other people, Simon Peter is here for it. When Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, Simon thinks this is amazing. But when Jesus ministers to him, when Jesus brings something new into his life, that's when Simon thinks, well, this is all too much. I'm not worthy of all this. It's the love that comes without stipulations, the love that comes without having to be justified, the love with no condition or pretense That's the hardest for us to accept. And so we do what Simon Peter does. We send people away. We say, if they only knew the real me, then they wouldn't love me. We press them about why they would love us, what tangible value we have for them. The easiest way to reject someone's love isn't telling them to leave, it's asking them why they always stay. To say their love can't be a gift, and there must be some kind of tangible thing they get from loving us. When we ask our partners, friends, and family what they get out of our relationship, the answer that scares us most is just getting to love you. We would rather the answer be something like, the way you take care of me, or the way you provide for me, or the way you make me feel. We don't want to be loved as much as we want to be needed. But here's the thing about being needed. Sooner or later, you won't be needed anymore. There will be a time when you can't take care of the person like you used to, a time when you can't provide for them the way you did, a time when you can't make them feel the way you used to. We think being needed will keep people from noticing our shortcomings, but it only works for a little while. The ones who stay with us are the ones who see our hurts and scars from the burdens of life and choose to love us anyway. So look at how Jesus responds to Simon Peter's protest in this story. When Simon Peter says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," you would expect Jesus to respond, "Well, I can forgive sins. In the name of the Father and me and the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Come on, let's go." You would expect Jesus to address Simon Peter's protest on his terms. "You don't want to follow me because you feel inadequate? Well, how's this? You're perfect. You'll be the perfect disciple for me." No, Jesus doesn't say your sins are forgiven, and Jesus doesn't say that you're perfect. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Jesus doesn't promise Simon that he will be perfect, which is good because Simon is an awful long way off from perfect. Remember, when Jesus is crucified, Simon will deny he ever knew Jesus in the first place. And Jesus answers a different question. Jesus says, "Don't be afraid of being known, don't be afraid of being understood, and don't be afraid of being loved." Jesus says that Simon Peter doesn't have to hide his inadequacies or his shortcomings or his ambivalence. The Simon Peter Jesus wants is not the perfect one who can put on a good face and keep up appearances. The Simon Peter Jesus wants is the one who doesn't know if he's worthy of being called in the first place. At the end of the story, Luke says that after Jesus called him, Simon Peter left everything and followed him. You notice when St. Mark tells the story, he just says they left their nets. That's not quite good enough for Luke, so Luke bumps it up a level. Luke says they left everything. Nets, boats, possessions, homes, jobs, all that they owned. But Simon Peter left something else behind on the shore that day, too. He left behind an illusion about himself, that he was unworthy, undeserving, and unlovable. He leaves behind his old identity. The theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once put it this way: when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. It may be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and work to follow him, or it may be a death like Luther's who had to leave the monastery and go out into the world. But it is the same death every time. Death in Jesus Christ, the death of the old man at his call. The old man or the old person, we would say, is the one who would prefer to be unchanged by grace, to be unmoved by love, and to be passed over by redemption. And that's the person Jesus leaves behind on the shore. The irony of the story, of course, is that Simon Peter gets his wish in the end. Jesus does leave him alone. Jesus leaves Simon's old identity there on the shore. The catch is that Simon's new identity goes with him. See, the miracle in the story is not the fish. It's never about the fish. The fish aren't even that impressive. The miracle is the new identity that Jesus gives Simon. The miracle is how God empowers us to leave behind the version of ourselves that settles for milquetoast hopes and convenient comforts and creates a new identity that's found in the love of God. The miracle is that Christ bids us come and die so that we can go and live. And the miracle is that whenever we tell God we want to be needed, God tells us something much better, that we're loved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.